Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters, and you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. I hope everyone's having a good week so far and has an even better one to come. And hello, Naomi. How's it going?
Hi, Pam.
Oh,
it's going okay. Yeah, the COVID is hanging on to me, but you know, I'm fighting it, sore throat still. But
well,
doing better,
fighting.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're starting to feel better. But yeah, it's rough stuff to go through. But kudos to you for fighting it. So, you know. And so tell us a little bit about tonight's topic.
Well, yeah. Wow. I never knew we had so many artists on, painters, photographers, I thought Gray would, because I know he does wood carving, so I thought he'd put in some of his wood carvings, but he didn't put it in. But we have so many great artists that on All Poetry, and I was surprised, my gracious. I knew Hope painted and Nuno. And then, Kitty, the Naughty Poet, I was like flabbergasted by what her paintings too. And, there's other ones that showed up that, my gracious, I had no idea that they did these paintings. And, I was just excited, to do a show on, to showcase, a few of, All Poetry, artists. That can paint and do stuff. So, really looking forward to how this art inspired our poets out there. So looking forward to tonight for sure.
Absolutely. Me too. I'm looking forward to reading and delving into the poetry that the artists of All Poetry have inspired. It's going to be an awesome show. And speaking of which, we do have three people on hold, so I'll go ahead and I'll bring them on so they can join us. First of all, I'd like to welcome Laurent. Welcome, Laurent. Glad you could join us.
Hello. 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 Here. Bonsoir. Bonjour.
And then I would like to welcome Irish Rose. Welcome, Rose. Glad you could join us.
Hi, Rose.
So much.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to ask you, Irish Rose, if you were in any kind of time crunch or anything, because I wasn't sure. Do you have to read? No? Okay. That's okay. That's super. Just a note.
All right. And then I would like to welcome area code 763, which I believe is Dexter. Welcome to the show. Glad you could join us.
Glad I could be here.
Hi, Dex.
Hey, Dex.
And I just want to tell everybody that Dexter did provide some awesome paintings, and so did Irish Rose. So thank you, guys, my gracious, for your wonderful art tonight, that and Hope too, which is on the board I see. So Hope has a few pieces in there too. So anyway, I'll name the artists as we go down the poetry.
Sounds good.
So we have quite a few pieces on the board. I have carryovers from the last show, but only three. But I think I have like 25 poems, so we better get started. So I'll put up our first piece, and let's get this thing started. Dark and Doris is our first one carryover from one of my other shows, and Irish Rose. Would you mind reading for Dark and Doris?
Oh, sure. I would be pleased to do that for you. Innocence. Begin poem. Darkened Auras. Innocent. Childhood years running through fields, planting daisies in her hair, given daffodils from a neighbor boy, everything they would share. Innocent. Daydreams and picnics. beneath the shaded oak tree on the hill, a smile that never faltered, and a sunny face until, innocently, the boy opens a box and asks her to be his wife. They've shared so much together. He wants them to share life. Innocent, tears of happiness flow like rivers down her cheeks. She's given him his answer before she ever even speaks. Innocence will soon be lost as she dons a wedding gown of white and embezzled with flowers from her former life. She smiles in pure delight. In poem.
Oh, wow, that was awesome. Awesome read there, Irish Rose. And, you know, this was from a contest, two contests ago, one leftover carryover, where I had gowns, different gowns from this artist, Vashmir Maharaja, or something like that. And, so this is one of the gowns that she created. And, you know, what a wonderful piece. What did you think, Pam?
You know what? I have to agree. It is wonderful. I really like the repetition. Well, not really exactly repetition, but how she uses the word innocent in different ways. Innocent, innocently, innocence. And to me, it is very much a coming of age, right? And where you're on the borderline, like between childhood and adulthood, and your point of view is changing and the world is changing. And it's beautifully written all the way through. But I particularly like innocent tears of happiness flow like rivers down her cheeks. She's given him his answer before she ever even speaks. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Yeah, I get that. You know, what you're saying, the childhood, from lots of words in here, you know, just a daffodil, what it represents for me anyway, it represents that youth, that freshness. I don't know. So yeah, she got that from the dress. They're great inspiration from that gown. And Lorraine, your thoughts?
Yeah, what a piece. I like what Pam said about the use of the different words, all meaning basically the same thing. In normal definition, innocent, innocent, innocently, innocent, innocence. I found it to be picturesque, beautiful, with a tone that matches the theme of innocence or innocent. Innocence is a thing versus innocent is a different thing. And all the way through, it's beautifully described. Daydreams and picnics beneath the shaded oak tree on the hill. The boy opens a box and asks her to be his wife. Tears of happiness flow like rivers down her cheeks. And the last stanza seems to continue that, and then I reread it like two or three times. And I'll postulate something which may be entirely fictitious, but innocence will soon be lost. Now, in what way? As she dons a wedding gown of white, white, of course, symbolic of a virginal life or a virginal body, but then the use of the word embezzled, with flowers from her former life, embezzled as in secreted away or stolen. And somehow it adds a shade of a slight shade of darkness to the entire poem, even though it seems innocent in its phrasing. Without too much effort, you could definitely see something a little bit darker in it. Either way, wonderful piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you mean there. Yes, innocence will soon be lost. You know, when it was innocent, innocent, innocently, innocent, innocence, all the way through, something so pure. And then, I can see the darkness there a little bit. Dex, your thoughts, my dear.
Yeah, what a beautiful write. Very well done as far as the using of the word, as was pointed out, Pam pointed out my favorite stanza, tears of happiness flow like a river down her cheek, she's given him his answer before she even speaks. You know, this just, I think, brings you kind of back to a time in your mind, you know, I guess when people bought the car before taking it for a test drive, I guess, to maybe say it a little bit more crudely, I guess, or something, or maybe, but it's just an incredible ride.
Thank you, Dick. An Irish Rose, what did you think of the write that you just read?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. First of all, I really liked the flow it had. It was really smooth, and the lines were smooth, but I liked the break that she used with innocent, and the way that she used it with a different context as stated in the poem. So, you know, you have your thoughts are focused deeper into that meaning of what will it mean in life with this innocence. And I like the sentimentality of it, too. And I thought that was really well used. And rhythmically, it really worked well. So she really, really wrote a nice poem. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Irish Rose. Awesome comment. And I have a next write-up by Deborah Joe, and this was from my contest, Valentine's Day contest, which was all about love. So, Pam, could you give that a read for us, please?
I would be happy to do that. Yes. All right. This is I Miss You by Deborah Joe. Missing you is all I do. I thought I'd cope without you, but I do miss you. I miss you. I miss you. I miss your voice. I miss your touch. I miss your warm smile. I miss you. I miss you when the day is over, when the night is young, when the moon and stars are out. I miss you. I miss you when I am alone, when no one to talk to, when I'm at a party, when the children are busy, when I have no one to talk to. I miss you. I miss you like the flowers miss the sunshine. I miss you then, I miss you now, and always will, until we meet again in that world where no one can separate us. I am missing you right now. As I write these few lines, do hope you read it up there in, from heaven, for I loved you then, I missed you then, and miss you today. I miss you. End poem.
Awesome read there, Pam. And, you know, what an emotive write. You know, I miss you. I do hope you read it up there from heaven, for I loved you then. I miss you then, miss you today. Very, you know, really an emotive write all the way through. You know, feels so sincere, this write. And what did you think, Laurent? Are you on mute, Laurent?
Well, kind of. I am having some technical difficulties that I'm trying to resolve. I can't seem to see the room anymore. But what I heard, I liked a great deal.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if you guys had that issue, but my I don't know, all poetry was like black today. It went black on me.
It's like that for everyone, yes.
It's so weird.
Very annoying.
Yeah. I thought it was
a little bit. I think they're doing some updates because I had like a new mobile version that it allowed me to look at. So I think they're doing a lot of updates or something on some new ones. But I happen to see this poem, though, at least. So.
Yeah, well, do you want to comment, Dick?
Certainly, yeah. I really enjoyed this one. And, you know, kind of how it started off, you didn't quite know if it was just somebody was off or away or if they had passed away. And, you know, as much as that, what I enjoyed about this, right, is that it really kind of showed our mortal side or because as much as we'd like to think about the idea about seeing somebody in a separate world where nobody can separate us. You know, I hope you read this in heaven. It's with the faith that nobody should separate us, but it's implying that we are separate. So it's like, and I just think that that's the mortal bind that we're in this world. But you know, if you believe in the things that this person is implying, then you're really not separate. But the truth is that we are separate. And so I thought that this was a great, almost kind of contrast of what the reality versus what we hope. And so I thought that this was perfect.
Great observation there, Dex. And Irish Rose, what did you think of the poem?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. First of all, I really liked the emotive aspects of this poem. It was so deep and so real, you know. It was tender in its expressions and in its reality of sorrow, of loss, and the reality about love that always lingers, no matter how much time goes by, that it will always be there. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you, Irish Rose. And Pam, you read that so beautifully. What are your thoughts? Hi, Pam.
Sorry about there's so much emotion put into this rite. All the way through, you can feel the sadness and the tenderness in it. And I like how it's about missing somebody, but having that hope, having that faith that one day you'll see them again. Beautifully written all the way through and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And I'm going to do the last, I'm going to read the last little brevity here from Kitty the Naughty Poet from that contest, the Valentine's contest. I Want to Grow Old with You by Kitty the Naughty Poet, which is one of our artists that is showcased tonight. I want to grow old with you, go gray-haired with you. Look up at the stars holding your hand at age 30 and age 80. I want to stare into those sparkling green eyes and tell you how much I adore you. I want to watch our children grow up and play, then have children of their own someday, all with you by side, the beautiful love, the love of my life. End poem. And you know what an awesome little brevity this is. You know, great right to that prompt. And you know, Kitty the Naughty Poet, seems to have such a great companion in her life. And you know, she has two lovely little girls. And and I think this is really spoken from her heart. So bravo, Kitty. And what did you think, Dex, on this about this little brevity here?
I thought that this was a fantastic brevity, very heartfelt. And, you know, when you have that kind of foresight and goal and idea of the journey about where you want to land, and you have this kind of image in your head about somebody, it makes it that much easier to weather the storm of everything that's happening in between. There's a huge jump from being 30 to 80 and from everything that's happening in this poem, since it's such a brevity. But all of those things that are in between these lines are that much easier to overcome as a couple when you have that kind of idea of where you want to go. So very well done.
Indeed. Awesomely said there, Dex. And Laurent, your thoughts?
This is so sweet. that's an ideal image, you know, a young couple growing old together and still being in love that deeply at the end of its, at the end of, well, say age 80, starting at age 30. I want to watch our children grow up and play and have children of their own someday, all with you by my side, the beautiful love, love of my wife, life. It is indeed heartwarming to see the possibilities of a love that deep, so beautifully voiced. You're on mute.
Mute.
What else?
I'm on mute. Ah, Naomi, my first mute of the night. That was a lovely comment there, Laura. And Irish Rose, what are your thoughts?
I really enjoyed this. I loved brevity for its feeling of optimism and hope, you know? And it was so tender and warm, full of love, hope, desire, and dreams. And I think that, you know, that's what we all have. We have these things, and I really like that, the way it was expressed.
Yeah, indeed. Beautiful little brevity. And Pam, your thoughts, my dear.
Yeah. It's a wonderful brevity. It's just so tender in its emotion. And I really like and appreciate that it's about knowing that she knows she has that person, that partner, that she wants to spend the rest of your life, her life with. And really, it's just great all the way through. But I especially like, I want to watch our children grow up and play and have children of their own someday, all with you by my side. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Awesomely said there, Pam. And Laurent, I have the next write-up. We're going into the artist's right. So the first the artists, I mean paintings and the art on all poetry. And the first one is a poem written to the art of Hope Soul. No, Kitty the artist, Kitty the Naughty Poet. Sorry. And it's called Dreamcatcher, and it's by Danielle Jam. And Laurent, yeah, if you could give that a read for us, please.
All right. Dreamcatcher. Totem of wolf star, string woven together in a web, blessed by a shaman to ward off nightmares. A dreamcatcher releases a portal to the spirit world, but only to the realm of good dreams. Wherever it is hung, the dream catcher acts as guardian over the ethereal world of journeys to a place of refuge for the dreamer. Dreams do not end with a life extinguished, but travel through worlds of electrons, where souls vibrate at a speed that can't be seen by the naked eye. Electrons never get extinguished, but travel in the speed of light toward undiscovered countries. End poem.
Oh, what a beautiful write that was. I'm gonna put up the art on the page, and Dex, could you go ahead and give us a comment, the first comment, please?
Certainly. This was a fantastic write, and very well read by Laurent. But I feel like, you know, just kind of what we were talking about previously, almost in you know, faith and in hope and things of an afterlife, you know, it's, dreams are very much also something that is a lot to the unknown. And he does a way of kind of capturing what dreams are, you know, kind of, I think what we kind of do know about dreams, but there is a lot to be, you know, discovered and what they are. And I just thought that he did a great job of branching that kind of science, and also still the illusion and the fun of dreams. So very well done.
Oh, very well done indeed. And awesome, awesome comment there, Dex. And Irish Rose, what are your thoughts?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very descriptive. I liked the imagery a lot. I also liked the description of the journey that one takes in the spirit realm. And, you know, we do this in our lives daily and through dreams and experiences in life. And as they affect us in our waking lives, if we're intuitive, to be able to recall them and respond to them. I really enjoyed this.
Awesome comment there, Rose. And Pam, your thoughts, my dear.
Oh, yeah, this is wonderful. I really like how he speaks on the dream catcher and his attention to detail and how he speaks on the spirituality of it. There's great imagery throughout. And I really especially like wherever it is hung, the dream catcher acts as guardian over the ethereal world of journeys to a place of refuge for the dreamer. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Awesomely said there, Pam. And Laurent, you read the piece so well. What are your comments?
Yeah, dream catchers are beautiful things. I've seen some that are so ornamental, so beautiful. And then you describe it in words as that portal to the spirit world. And even though that's what they're for, I never seem to think of them that way. I always think of the physical beauty less of what they represent. So it's good to read this poem, which reinforces to me what a dream catcher is for and what it does. And the comments preceding mine were all on target. But let me say that when the poet says electrons never get extinguished, I immediately thought of lives that do get extinguished, but perhaps not really. Because electrons, those pieces of our lives that travel at the speed of light toward undiscovered countries, never die. They never get extinguished. Very skillful, very creative ending.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Awesomely written piece. And, yeah, to that awesome art, which I put up there, you know, which does look like a dream catcher, you know, and with a wolf face in it and... beautiful, beautiful art by Kitty the Naughty Poet there. And the next piece I put up is by Hope Sowell, one of her paintings. And this is a poem by Maggie M. And Irish Rose, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Sure, thank you. Astrophile, begin poem. By Maggie M. Bitten moon, you dim light, darkens the stage, and there stars spiral, planets pirouette, their brightest lights shine. When you are not looking, my body tingles in anticipation as my outstretched hands caress with the universe, one blessed touch, and I come alive in an influence.
Oh, awesome read there, Irish Rose. I know your comments, Laura, in the poem.
I love this brevity from top to bottom. I love the use of the word astrophile and bitten moon. This is especially nice. I like the planets that pirouette, their brightest lights shine. When you are not looking, my body tingles in anticipation. That blessed touch that Maggie speaks about is a wonderful thing, whether it's the blessed touch of a lover or the blessed touch of a god. It almost doesn't matter. It brings one alive. Beautiful sentiment.
Yeah, beautiful sentiment to a beautiful painting by Hope Sowell there. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is absolutely a beautiful brevity. I really like how it's about feeling blessed and feeling that connection with the universe and just being really overwhelmed by the beauty of space as you look up into the night sky. All the way through is wonderful, but I especially like their brightest light shine when you are not looking. My body tingles in anticipation as my outstretched hands caress the universe. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Indeed. Awesome comment there, Pam. And who did I not get? Dex, did I get you?
No. Okay. You know, I thought that this was a fantastic write, and you know, based around and based on one of my favorite paintings or pieces of the entire place in the entire contest, also one that got a lot of writes about it. But I thought that, you know, it's one of those things where it's like you look out into the universe, and it's funny when you look out into the stars and into the planets and stuff. It's like it's so far away, but for some reason it just makes us feel more connected. And I know that this one kind of has a sensual piece to it, but it just all connects, and just kind of like our universe does. And I just thought it was a fantastic write.
I was just reading. I was trying to find out if that was a painting by Hope Solo, I think, eh? Not by Nuno. I hope I didn't mix that up. Because Hope Solo says, look, Nuno, it's your hand. But, so I'm not sure. But Hope Solo put it as, no, she signed it, Hope Solo. Okay, no, it's by her. Okay, and the next painting I have up is by you, Dex. And, and I really like that one, you know, the man with the cigarette. And this is a poem by Longfellow Serenade, and it's called The Last Cigarette. And, Dex, if you want to go ahead and read a poem that was inspired by your painting, please, my dear.
Right. Absolutely. This is Longfellow Serenade, The Last Cigarette. I smoke the day's last cigarette before I go to bed, but I can't help but fuss and fret the voices in my head. They're playing every last regret and each mistake I've made. My forehead breaks into a sweat. My slumber's been betrayed. For now I cannot sleep a wink. My mind is all abuzz. I know all night I'll sit and think about the life that was. I'm sure that I will cry a bit, but that is nothing new. Anxiety will not permit the Sandman to come through. And so the day's last cigarette becomes two packs or more. My weary mind has been beset, and there's more grief in store. I sit and watch the new day and dance with more regrets, but still can't get my slumber on. I'm out of cigarettes and more.
Wow, eh? I really like this poem. I am I on mute again? No, I'm not on mute. Okay, yeah, I really liked, but of course I liked Longfellow Serenade. I like the way he writes. And, you know, I just thought this was an awesome poem to that picture. Just so many great stanzas. What did you think, Laurent?
I love the phrase, I smoke the day's last cigarette. People who smoke will use a cigarette and during a moment of reflection as a spur to thought, as a spur to reflection. And that is obvious all the way through here, how the cigarette is used. But for now, I cannot sleep a wink. My mind is all abuzz. I know all night I'll sit and think about the life that was. And as the day's last cigarette becomes two packs or more, it doesn't help that my weary mind has been beset, and there's more grief in store. And all of that going on in her mind as she watches the sun come up, and she has a few more regrets to think about, but still can't get to sleep. And whoa, out of cigarettes. We use cigarettes as a crutch sometimes in very odd ways. And that, this is so well voiced. I really, really like it.
Oh, yeah. Awesome piece. And, yeah, I can confer, you know, every time I get stressed in life, you know, about, especially it's always the kids, usually my kids stress me out if they're having problems. I go back to a cigarette, you know, oh my gracious, you know, the awful cigarette. But, yes, I understand that. And Irish Soul, what did you think of Longfellow's poem?
Well, I really liked it. I saw his painting, and I thought it was just so illustrative of his work here, is his poem. And I really thought that was a perfect fit. And the journey in vices, cigarettes being one of many, that's a hard one. That's a really hard one. And so just this whole journey of what to do about the cigarette thing, you know, can't do anything. The Sandman can't let you go to sleep. You know, your poor mind is kind of messed up. And so it's kind of a problem. And I like the stanza. And so the day's last cigarette becomes two packs or more. My weary mind has been beset and there's no more grief in store.
Wow.
Until you have to quit smoking. And so I really thought this was great. Good job.
Mm-hmm. Awesome comment there, Rose. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is wonderful. You know, I like how it speaks on the idea of dealing with that nicotine addiction, and especially at the end of a difficult day and the stress. I'm not a smoker myself, but, you know, I do understand what it's like to get to the end of a stressful day and not be able to sleep. And this has great rhyme and flow to it, a nice use of alliteration, you know, especially in Into a Sweat, My Slumber's Been Betrayed. But, yeah, I really like the rhyme, the flow, the imagery, and the idea that all of a sudden realizing that last cigarette is gone and you're still no closer to being asleep. So great write and very well done.
Awesome, awesome comment there, Pam. And Dex, what did you think of the Longfellow's write about inspired by your art?
Well, I thought it was amazing, and thank you, Naomi, you know, for putting on this contest. I'll be honest with you, I had kind of like, I don't know if I speak for other artists that was in it, I had a lot of anxiety about it. So once I seen that somebody had wrote to it and somebody had a piece and such a good write to it, it was like almost kind of emotional to me because I have a lot more confident in my words than I am in my paintings. And so it meant a lot to me to see anybody write anything to it. And I thought that and kind of what I had written on his comments is that he did such a great job of breathing life into it, and because he kind of created a frenzy out of a still image, even though the person's kind of he wrote about is locked in here, but he made it into such a frenzy, and I loved it a lot, and I think like maybe I don't know if I speak for everybody, but it was just like, you know, I'm very kind of almost self-conscious sometimes about my art, and so I just thought it was, he did such a great job, and I was so grateful that anybody wrote to it.
Well, I can tell the emotion in your voice, Dex. Yeah, but it was such an awesome, awesome piece of art. I just loved it, and you know, as everybody else probably did too. It was just so original and so neat. So thank you so much again for entering it. And, yeah, so the next piece I have up, well, it doesn't have what art it was written to, but I assume by the title it was by by Hope Souls, you know, the moon one that I already put up in the beginning of the show. So Pam, will you go ahead and give that a read? It's by Ms. Claus.
I would be happy to. All right, this is
She does say prompt number one. Sorry. Sorry, Pam.
Oh, okay. Yep, there it is. Moon Tears for the Sun by Ms. Claus. The moon sat among a sapphire sky, laden heavily with silent tears. Once it had smiled, awaiting his love, the sun, but the sun had wanted But the sun had waned under a cold, crisp winter, so he sat and thought and pondered over an idea that hung in the air, much like the hand which the spiders had spun. He shifted and moved and watched the laden clouds arrive and water the earth. They hung like diamond tears, just a few raindrops and splashes, but as the morning dew first hit the cold ground, he gave a beautiful wink, for there was his lady love sitting neatly inside the hand, sun and moon united again across a wintry land. End poem.
Oh, what a beautiful read that was, Pam. And you know what a tender and beautiful poem this is. And what are your thoughts? I'll go to Rose first. What are your thoughts, Rose, on this poem?
Oh, I thought it was had a very ethereal feeling to it, you know, another worldliness. And I thought that was captured by the imagery in the poem itself. And I thought it was really well expressed how it spoke about the connection between all of the aspects that were mentioned. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Awesome comment here. And Lorraine, your thoughts, my dear.
The moon sat among a sapphire sky, laden heavily with silent tears. The image presented of the moon waning, of the sun waning under a cold, crisp winter, and then reappearing, united with the sun, sitting neatly inside the hand, which I'm assuming is the spider web spun, which can look like a hand, depending on its shape, but certainly a web that catches, much like the hand. And there was his lady love, sitting neatly inside the hand, sun and moon united again across a wintry land. I just love the imagery in this piece.
Oh, yeah, eh? Me too. So well executed, this poem. You know, it's just the wording in it is so beautiful. It just flows. And Dex, your thoughts, my dear.
Yeah, he really captures earth, wind, and fire. I mean, it's water. He really captures all of it and uses the imagery that is maybe the most strong in our universe or that in our minds can concept. He uses the strongest images imaginable, and I thought he did a fantastic job of his wording and flowing throughout this. So very well done.
Mm-hmm. Amazing comment there, Dex. And Pam, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought it was a wonderful story, right? And I like how she was able to tell a story without a lot of words. Great use of personification of the sun and the moon and the relationship and the connection they have with one another. And I like how this speaks on the idea of finding that way and that time to reconnect. So excellent, right, and very well done.
Awesome comment, Pam. And I have our next art piece up, which is by Nuno. and which I found so fascinating. My gracious, I kept on looking at this art piece, and you know, all kinds of ideas came to my mind. And I have a poem up written to the piece by Hope Sowell, and Irish Rose. Do you want to go ahead and give out a read for Hope Sowell?
I think I'm kind of, I haven't found where it is yet. I don't know. I think
Flames of the Conqueror. Do I have it up? Yeah.
Refresh.
What is it called again?
Flames of the Conqueror. Oh, I think it got buried maybe.
I don't, wait a minute. I don't see it. I'm sorry.
I just put it up again. Do you see it now?
Wait a minute. Hold it.
Just refresh, Rose.
Yeah, I got it. Front page. I went into the room. Okay, great. Have it. Thank you so much. Okay. Flames of the Conqueror. Begin poem by Hope Sowell. Kerosene soaked lips breathe a blaze. Luminous tentacle flames that run. Garnet sangria sangre. Pullulates the pulsating fire of amour that eats away dying darkest magenta plums, stone-fruit of what's left of a corazon that's squeezing out a dried outstricken single pit. Erupt grain pulp left out to die in the heat of mid-Texas summer July. Yellow rose of a desert bloom, take your moistened mouth, birth far from Rio Grande Valley desert sun drops. Combust the gulchia of barbed tentacles, cacti of voodoo, dull lifeless knot, disintegrating at the touch of another's open casketed heart in poem.
Ah, what a wonderful read there, Rose. And you know, what a beautiful write by Hope Sowell. You know, that she really captured the essence of that art. You know, the abstract essence of it, and she, you know, just amazingly. But you know, of course, I just love Hope Sowell's rewriting. And Laura, what did you think of Hope Sowell's write?
I love the use of language in this. Kerosene soaked lips breathe a blaze, luminous tentacle flames that run, garnet sangria sangre. Pullulates the pulsating fire of armor that eats away dying darkest magenta plums. I am so impressed by the way she uses words in this to give us an image of, well, for instance, cacti of a voodoo doll, lifeless knot, disintegrating at the touch of an other's open, casketed heart. Wonderful writing. I mean, when you read it, or as I read it, and listen to it, so well read. A big smile came across my face at the way she uses language. Very skillful, very creative.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, she's a real wordsmith. I wish I could write half as well as her, you know, in the English language, my gracious.
You do.
No, I don't. I'm missing a bit of vocabulary. And Pam, your thoughts?
It's absolutely amazing. There's brilliant imagery and metaphors. To me, the main idea it spoke on was the idea of love and life that blooms from death. Like the idea that, you know, and I don't quite know how to put it, but I think of the idea of like being in a desert and how the carcass of an animal or being the carcass of the animal will feed other animals or will feed if you're on a prairie where there's grass, it'll feed the grass, you know, and there's that kind of full cycle of life type thing. And it also has kind of the end lines to me kind of have a whole feeling of the bird that it rises out of the ashes. I forget what they're called, but you all know what I mean. Yeah. Yeah, the Phoenix. That's it. It has that whole, like, the poem, the ending especially, has that idea of the phoenix that rises out of the ashes. And this is beautiful all the way through. But I especially like Fire of Amor that eats away dying, darkest magenta plume, stone fruit of what's left of a corazon that's squeezing out a dried out stricken single pit. Powerful lines and very well done.
Awesome comment, Pam. And Dex, your thoughts?
You know, I thought that it captured the image very well, and there's a lot of guts, and there's a lot of things behind the scenes to write something to your loved one's painting, and I thought she did a very good job of doing that. But, you know, there's a certain amount of it's just interesting to have captured how, like I pictured too, the desert, how difficult life is in the intense heat. It's equal to how difficult life is in the intense cold. And just the toughest and the strongest of species can endure that. And if you're talking about a love, or if, like Pam, I like kind of like what she said, something birthed out of that. Whatever is birthed out of that is the toughest that there is. And so I thought that this was an amazing rank.
Awesome, Dex. And Irish Rose, did I ask you? I'm getting lost here putting up pictures.
I really, as an artist, I really thought that this was really exceptionally put together in the way of the illustration, as well as the layout of the form of the poem itself, that caught the abstract feeling of that image. And the way she tied it all together, I thought it was just a stroke of brilliance. I thought it was great and very tasteful.
Oh, yeah, awesome. And I put up your art, which got buried, Irish Rose, which was like the pink, the green, like a green siren underwater, what I thought was inspired me. Beautiful, beautiful painting. And I put up your piece, Laurent. It got buried quite a bit. Do you have it there?
I'm refreshing the page, but I'm not seeing the poem. I can grab it elsewhere if you like.
Yeah, or I'll put it back up.
Thank you.
There. Do you see it? Yeah, it's there.
Yeah, I
you see
it. Yeah, hang on. I got my computer's funny tonight. I got it. All right.
Okay.
This is called Skies That Quietly Echo. She lay delicate and fresh turned to earth, her cheeks of rose neath eyes of blue, only 21 years from her birth, vanished all wealth and retinue. She died as princesses and paupers die, falling heart trembling in silence. One last breath beneath our common sky, grim death unsheeded by any last defiance. Hard by a lonesome mountain cave, near a mossy log by a singing brook, I laid the best of me to grave, and left with barely a backwards look. Seasons count the years as grief pulls me again to her side. Sorrow draws my knife from its sheath. Plunging, our reunion shall not be denied. Laying lifeless storm clouds overhead, hard rain pelts my unfeeling limbs. I become a stone, now finally wed to an angel with gossamer wings. My flesh a poor marker, begrimed and now finally erased, of our sacred passionate love, long years passing have left little trace. under skies that quietly echo above, plaintive song of the last morning dove. And
oh, what a beautiful ride to that picture, to that art. Oh my gracious, beautiful, just beautiful, Laurent. And Dex, what did you think of Laurent's poem?
Amazing, right? You know, you captured this and you gave an entire life story, you know, to an image. My favorite line in it is, my flesh, a poor marker. That's such a kind of profound line because, you know, it's just what even has been alluded to earlier tonight about living on past, you know, your dreams, the afterlife, but maybe how old our soul really is. Our flesh is a poor marker, and about how deep our love is and about how long-lasting our love is. Maybe this life is a poor marker. And I just thought that he captured that so well.
Oh, yeah, amazing. Amazing comment there, Dex. He did indeed. And wonderful, wonderful comment. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yes, well, first of all, great read there, Lauren. And, you know, wonderful imagery and metaphors all the way through in a sad, emotive tone. You know, this really, to me, speaks on the idea of that heart that is so broken, it just, you can't go on anymore. There's no returning back to how life used to be. And I like how you tell this story about this woman's heartbreak and about her just wanting to escape from life. And it's beautifully written all the way through, but a couple of my favorite parts is the second stanza where you say she died as princesses and paupers do. And that really speaks to me on the idea that can come to anyone at any time, and so can grief. And also the my flesh, a poor marker, begrimed and now finally erased of our sacred passionate love, long years passing have left little trace. And it's that idea of looking back and remembering somebody and remembering the grief that's still there, though not quite the same. So excellent write and very well done.
Awesome comment there. And Irish Rose, what did you think of Laurent's write to your art?
Well, I was very impressed. And it was very poignant, touching, and sad, and soft in the sorrow with the description. And I liked the way it spoke of passion, you know, of the relationship from the image of loss and sorrow. And I like the emotive qualities that it has, and it was very tastefully expressed and deep in sorrow and touching and wonderful. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, awesome, awesome, awesome comment there, Irish Rose. And I have our next piece up, which is by Kitty the Naughty Poet. And Paul Broach wrote to it. And Dexter, do you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please?
Certainly. Well, and I'm going to go with your pronunciation of it, Paul Broach. I always think in my mind, Paul Brat. I don't know why. Sorry, Paul. I don't know. That brat was Paul Brat. Paul Broach. Biker Betty. The moon was full, the evening sweaty, upon her chopper, Biker Betty. Found time to reignite old memories, roadside ruins, angels, commemoraries. Becoming one of with lovers past, hoping that these feelings last. at least until the full next full moon, when lovers love and crooners croon. High bars, mind you, easy rider, a moonlit road is right beside her. She stops to visit former partners whose lifetime treks took different charters. This guy here had a heart of gold, along with other parts, she's told. Other ones she didn't like as much. Appears this guy had the Midas touch. End poem.
Great read there, Dix. And you know, what a great tale told to that painting. My gracious, you know, I just love some of these lines. At least until the next full moon, when lovers love and crooners croon. Just love the way that sounds. What did you think, Laurent?
I love the imagery, the golden skeleton, the one who had the Midas touch. And, you know, when you want that special moment and you're eager for it and your partner has that Midas touch, well, those are riches beyond compare. Well done.
Mm-hmm. Awesome comment there, Laura. And Rose, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this had great rhythm and rhyme to it, and I really liked the storyline. It had a touch of humor to it, and I loved the imagery, and it was funny, and it was well thought out. Great poem.
Oh, yes, indeed. Awesome. Awesome comment. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah. I like this one. It had great rhyme and flow, wonderful storytelling, you know, and Biker Betty is just such a fun name. In fact, I think Paul ought to write like a series of poems with the character Biker Betty and her adventures.
yeah.
I would read those. You know, and I really did like that second stanza with the, you know, becoming one with lovers past, hoping that these feelings last at least until the next full moon when lovers love and crooners croon. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Awesome. Awesome comment, Pam. And who didn't I get? Dex, did I get you?
No, but I thought that this was a great write, and I see his name is Paul Brothers, so that makes sense of the Paul Brot. I never seen that before.
Yeah.
So I just thought that this had great rhyme and flow to it throughout, and I agree with Pam. I can see a Biker Betty series. She's a dominant character, perfect for Women's History Month. She's out here the dominant one in this one set. No, I like it.
Awesome. And I have, just wait a minute. I have another art piece up by you, Dex. And I'm just going to go get that poem by Tans. You know, I hate this. The pages keep going all black on me. It's hard to work. I hope they don't do that, you know, put the pages black because okay, so this is by Tans, City Skies, and she actually wrote to two of your art pieces, the man smoking the cigarette and this the city street here that you painted, Dick. So Pam, if you want to go ahead and give that want to read for us, please.
I would be happy to. All right. And City Skies by Tans. While that whole town seems to couple in an orgy of forgetfulness, he is remembering. Ecstasy and remorse would be simpler, an easy act of physical comfort, expunged. But he is oddly domestic, always aware of the other, more close, yet more aloof than any lover. He walks the city between the fray of daylight and darkness, trailing twilight through heaven's smog-stained tears, the songs of discarded angels etched in depths of his head, always alone and always to meet her, her, at the end and the beginning of every street. The flush of dusk explodes like cannons across the battling light of city skies. So few he truly loves, her, perhaps one of these. Does she walk her city under the same fate of light, insubstantial, unsubstantiated? Will she remember him across the gulf of pavement, walked endlessly into the gaping mouth of night, in hope that somewhere someone like him might be waiting? He goes with only the wound of his footsteps, reminding him he is alone. End poem.
Awesome, awesome read there, Pam. And, you know, what an awesome write by Tans. You know, so those two prompts, wow. Lahan, what are your thoughts?
That read was so well done, and the words hit me hard towards the end. Will she remember him across the gulf of pavements, walk endlessly into the gaping mouth of night in hopes that somewhere someone like him might be waiting? He goes, only the wound of his footsteps reminding him he is alone. That metaphor, with only the wound of his footsteps reminding him, is so subtle and speaks of so much of the past. It, with just those few words, I was just enthralled with the use. I must congratulate the writing on this particular piece. It seems as if the artwork is a real inspiration to fans, was written one outstanding piece.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, indeed. Awesome. Awesome a comment there, Lahan. And Irish Rose, your thoughts?
I'm sorry, I was away, so I didn't get to hear it. So
okay, no problem. Oh, no problem at all. And Pam, you read that so beautifully. What are your thoughts?
This is amazing. It has beautiful and brilliant imagery and metaphors. I like that she wrote to the two paintings and put them together into the story of two people who are connected and yet separated. There's that real sense of loneliness and that real sense of wanting company, but knowing that what you want is out of reach. I really like this all the way through, but especially near the end where it says, will she remember him across the gulf pavements, walk endlessly into the gaping mouth of night in hopes that somewhere someone like him might be waiting. You know, wonderful lines, really heartfelt and very well done.
Oh, awesome. Awesome comment there, Pam. And awesome observations, too. And Dex, what did you think of Tan's writing on your art?
I mean, I was completely blown away, you know, that she combined the two and that she chose to do it. It's very, you know, different from her style. You know, I really can't even put it into words. Laurent pointed out such a deep, profound ending to this rite, and Pam captured it very well about, you know, the depth of people that are further, far away, that, you know, if things had been differently, you know, into the loneliness and waiting for somebody, and will they remember you, and it just everything. It's just an incredible piece of writing, and I'm just kind of awestruck by the whole thing. So very well done.
Awesome, awesome comment there, Dex. And I have a next art piece up by you, Irish Rose, and a beautiful, another beautiful painting. And your poem is on the board, if you see it there. I'm going to repost it. And if you want to go ahead and give us a read of it, please.
Okay, just a minute. Gwen, you're all mixed up here. Hold on.
Yeah, and when the site is not going so well, eh?
Yeah, no kidding. It's kind of like all over the place. Okay, thank you. I got it. All right. Haida Gwaii, Songs of Life. Old pain murmurs in her ear. Nothing is as it was. Changing seas where visions speak, chanting voiced in tones of need. Ghostly shadows fill the air, disappearing into raging waves. Raiders of the blooded breathe their death, swimming in memories of sunlight and storms. Diadems of catechism filters through life, crashes the dream lost. Warrior spirits shout in the storms, voices slowly dying. Shadows seep, sifting the sands quietly deep in the lining of her soul, raking over old bones. Hearing the raven's call, memories of warriors, ghosts screaming in raging seas. Now roots drink the golden elixir of memories, poured from tongues now gone. A winter storm erupts in life's late autumn dawn. Rainbow drops dance, running before tempest storms. The Pacific now speaks. Hear the voices? Pitches repeated in patterns. Whales sing their melancholy songs of life. Waters warm, food vanishing. Genetic memory serves as warning. Marine snow falls to the deepest bottom of an unseen land. Biological pump spreads decay. Organic feeding of the aquatic. Haida sees the future. Eyes far-seeing, mouth set in grim lines, descending deeply into the fibers of her being, carrying her on ocean spirit's journey, now gone.
What a wonderful write. You know, that I really loved, you know, shadows seep, sifting the sand, a beautiful alliteration there, quietly deep in the lining of her soul, raking over old bones. And, you know, just so beautifully written all the way through. Laha, your thoughts, my dear.
Well, this poem has a fascinating backstory, a complete mythology and history woven into a fabric of spiritual cloth, draped around the reader by your writer's skill and understanding of the tribal heart and soul, a very human story. I am proud to be a small part of this rite.
And I thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's true. It was a collaboration. I'm so sorry.
Yes.
I missed. Yeah, it was a collaboration between you two. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, wonderful collaboration. Great writing to both of you. And wonderful read, Irish Rose. You know, I really like how this is that mythological story with that element of spirituality. Just stunning with its imagery. I like how it speaks on the idea of a history of warriors and the history of a creation of a world. I especially like warrior spirits shout in the storms, voices slowly dying, shadows seep, sifting the sand, quietly deep in the lining of her soul, raking over old bones. And, you know, just the capture the power of nature so well. In so many of these lines all the way through. Beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, indeed.
Thank you.
Awesome comment there.
Thank you.
And Dex, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was a fantastic collaboration. Amazing depth to this rite. You know, I thought that you guys went a direction that was very fitting of both of your styles. You know, the ghost screaming and raging seas, now roots drink the golden elixir of memories poured from tongues now gone. There's just a certain enchanting from a longingness, you know, it's just such a intriguing rite. It almost seemed like a saga or something, like a movie that we were watching. It was just very well done.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I just want to say Laurent was very, very much a part of this rite.
Well, it was an awesome, awesome rite by both of you. So bravo. Just a beautiful, beautiful rite and beautiful, beautiful art, my gracious. So thank you so much for providing us with that beautiful, beautiful rite and awesome, awesome art. And so I have our next write up, which is by Weaver of Dreams. And she wrote to that I with the butterflies by Kitty the Naughty Poet, which I have on the board. And we do have a SoundCloud for that. So, Pam, whenever you're ready.
I watch as you sleep, waiting for that moment when my life begins anew. I need to see you wake, glimpse the bright, iridescent silk hues, akin to the feathers of a bright peacock, hidden momentarily behind your eyelids. When your eyes open, I know I am the first person you will see, as well as the last, when I release you to fly with the butterflies.
Awesome, SoundCloud. Thank you so much, Kate, who were Weaver of Dreams, for that wonderful SoundCloud. And just a reminder, everybody, you know, when you can't phone in to read your own poem, well, you know, the SoundCloud is the next thing. We love hearing your poetry and your voice. So thank you so much, Kate, for that SoundCloud. And Laurent, your thoughts on Kate's poem?
Yes, stunning opening lines. I watch as you sleep, waiting for that moment when my life begins anew. To be staring at someone who's sleeping peacefully with love in your heart, watching them as you wait for their awakening so that you can awake with them in a manner of speaking, knowing that when your eyes open, I know I am the first person you will see, as well as the last when I release you to fly with the butterflies. Wow. Just nice job, Kate.
Awesome comment. Awesome comment, Laura. And Irish Rose, what did you think of Katie's poem?
I have to hearken with what Laurent had said. I really thought this was very devoted to the person that they were focusing on and all the things that they felt about that moment. And I thought it was really, really well done.
Awesome comment. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is great. It's a wonderful brevity. I love the way that the imagery and the way she's kind of staggered her lines. I will say that I thought it was going along the lines of romantic until they got to the end lines. And then I was like, oh, wait, I think this is actually supposed to be dark and creepy and not romantic. You know, because when you got to the end lines, when your eyes open, I know I'm the first person you'll see as well as the last when I release you to fly with the butterflies. So it's instantly within those lines to me goes from the idea of romance and watching the person you love, that you're in a relationship with, to a stalker, crazy woman, murder material. But, you know, that's just the way my mind interprets it. I do apologize if that's not what Kate meant it, but that's what I see. But and it is wonderfully written, and it can be interpreted, I think, in multiple ways. So,
yeah, that's the beauty of poetry.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Dex, your thoughts?
Well, I always like being on a show with Pam because she also has the balls to just go with it, you know, to just go with what she believes is an interpretation. I thought that this was a fantastic writing and a fantastic brevity, and a lot like waking up and sleeping. I was just reading this forward to backwards and backwards to forwards. The poem almost flows amazingly too, just read backwards also. So I thought that this was a great write.
Awesome comment, Dex. And so true about Pam being on a show with Pam. She has the most brilliant comment, which she already said she did on one show.
She convinced you.
Oh, no, she convinced me a long time ago. My gracious. But, yeah, I have our next write up by Jenny Hunt. And what's fun with her write is that she married two of the artists, Hope Soul, which I put up in the room, and Pity the Naughty Poet, which we just had up, the eye with the butterflies. So she took those two art pieces and she put them into this write here. And, I haven't been lazy, but, you know, I haven't read yet tonight, so I'll read this one. Butterflies fly me to where the sun melts my pain. Magenta mixed with violet and indigo tears bleeding down from my burning eyes. Butterflies fluttering, passing me by, crying out to them, pleading for mercy. They turn around, hearing my misery, flying through acid rain of broken hearts and shameful regrets. My pain is melting away. With butterfly kisses, safely I park, destination above the stars, warming my frozen heart as is the sun's rays. No more wasted tears, no more ridiculous fears. Away up here, I am safe near the heavens, full of grace, safe from my demons. And, you know, what a beautiful mixture of those two paintings, one more abstract from Hope Soul and the other, the eye, which comes into, you know, that first stanza a lot. Just a wonderful write from Jenny Hunt here. And Pam, what did you think of Jenny's write?
Oh, this is beautiful. And you did a wonderful read there, Naomi. I really like how this is another write that really just speaks from the heart. And I'm glad that Jenny has become part of the group and has been inspired to share her writes with us. And I like this all the way through. It's a wonderful dark write, but I especially like flying through acid rain of broken hearts and shameful regrets. My pain is melting away with butterfly kisses. Safely I part, destination above the stars, warming up my frozen heart in the sun's rays. Amazing lines and very well done.
Awesome comment, Pam. And, Laurent, your thoughts?
No, flying through acid rain of broken hearts and shameful regrets. My pain is melting away. The butterfly kisses safely. I part. What a powerful stanza that is. Almost as if you're buried in butterflies above the stars, stealing the cold away, leaving you full of grace and safe from my demons. I really like this piece. It's touching. It's moving. It's explicit without being too technical. It's a free verse that warms me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a wonderful observation there, Laura. And what did you think, Irish Rose?
I like this because pain is part of life, you know? And I thought the imagery was impressive and moving and delicate. And I thought it was really a nice brevity.
Awesome comment there, Rose. And who didn't I ask? Dex, your thoughts.
Yeah, I thought that this was an amazing write. And, you know, I thought that there is a certain strength and there is a certain safety and doing away with fears and things when you've been through about as bad as it can be, or when you've been through a certain level of demons and you've been through a certain level of hell. Things no longer become that scary and they're no longer that dangerous to you. I thought, and there's a certain experience that you get from it. So I thought that this was a very strong write.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Awesome comment. And Pam, did I ask you? Yes, I did, eh?
You did, yes.
Yes. Okay. So the next art I have up is by Kitty the Naughty Poet, and it's a poem by Inner Sanctum. And Laura, if you want to go ahead and give that one a read, please.
All right. Rainbow Chimp. The chimp is in the paint again, I heard the keeper say. Seems every time we try to paint, the monkey wants to play. The people at the zoo would laugh to see that little imp throw paint all over self and staff. They love that puckish chimp. Of course, that made him quite the ham. He slung some more because he made him happy as a clam, receiving their applause. He looked just like a rainbow when the painters were all through and sat there with a wicked grin and started hurling poo.
That's cute.
What a fun write, you know, to such a fun piece of art. Oh, my gracious, I just love this one. And Rose, I heard you giggling. Your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I really liked this because it just took me to Flyshacker Zoo in San Francisco where they have the gorilla enclosure, the silverbacks and stuff, and I could just see them throwing their poo everywhere, and it was just like, oh, yeah, I know that. But I really thought it was a whimsical write, and I thought it was really woven well with the imagery, the image that she chose, and it really worked out nice. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Yeah, it came together really well. And your thoughts, Pam, your thoughts.
Oh, this was great. This definitely gave me a laugh. Wonderful rhyme and flow, great humor. Love that ending. And the use of the word puckish was great. The people at the zoo would laugh to see that little imp throw paint all over self and staff. They loved that puckish chimp. Wonderful line and very well done.
Awesome. Awesome comment, Pam. And Dex, your thoughts?
Yeah, it seemed like it was a fun ride. It seemed like lipstick on a pig, you know, rainbow on a chimp. And maybe the joke's all on us for ever thinking that it's more than just simply that. And so I thought it was a great write.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome comment, Dix. And I have our next write-up by Eric Svensson. And he wrote to a piece by Hope Sowell, the first piece, you know, the one with the hand and the universe, like in the hand. And we have a SoundCloud for that one, so whenever you're ready, Pam.
Gift of the Givers. Poem held creativity nestles
nerve endings tingle. Monarch butterfly unfurls proboscis probe. Oh, how creativity's sweet nectar thrills. Mind energetics ignite cogs, sprockets, and audacious dockets. Intention opens sensory sluice gates. A fecund, fertile blank canvas awaits seeding. Synapses synchronize verve and nerve. Intention is better than procrastination. Creative energy responds to open-hearted minds. Gift of the givers, palms away doubt. Somewhere, somebody's psyche is uplifted by your creativity. Sacred nativity of head, heart, and hands, mangers hope. Gilded gold, friendly frankincense, and melodious myrrh. Oh, how creativity's sweet nectar thrills. Monarch butterfly cracks open darkness, chrysalis stasis. Blue dragonflies hover, skim over avant-garde plover feathers. Instant change of direction. Paintbrush button directs an overture. End poem.
As usual, Eric Svensson, his alliteration is always what gets me in his poems. My gracious, such a great use of alliteration. But, you know, the way he ends his poem, monarch butterfly cracked open darkness, a chrysalis, stasis, blue dragonflies hover, skim over avant-garde plover feathers. Instant change of direction, paintbrush, baton, directs an overture. You know, it's as if it's almost a symphony of some sorts here. Beautifully written poem. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah. Let me get back to that. Oops, I'm going to lose something. Can you come right back to me?
Yeah, I will. Dex, your thoughts, my dear.
I usually say that Eric is one of my favorite poets, especially to listen to. He's one of the most intriguing guys. I feel that way from listening. One of the most intriguing guys here on All Poetry. And to even add to the intriguingness, he entered in you know, he's a obviously I think he's a photographer, and just you know, there was and it made me appreciate him even more, because it's just everything he does is a little different, and I just and he made it even more intriguing. He's just a fantastic artist, and I appreciate him a lot.
Oh, yeah, indeed, he put some awesome photographs in the contest, but you know, they got in last minute because Eric sent them to me, and the contest was almost all filled up when he maybe thought, you know, not photography. He asked me if I was interested. I said of course, but you know, the contest was almost filled up, but I appreciate it. You know, seeing his wonderful work. And I invite everybody to go see, you know, his wonderful photographs in the contest. They're just wow, mind blowing. And yeah, what a wonderful comment there you made, Dex. And Laurent, were you able to go back to the piece?
Yes, certainly. For Eric, this is a brevity, I assure you.
Yeah, it's true, eh?
I love what he's done with this painting. I think he said it was by Hope Soul. The poem as a whole takes full advantage of the possibilities of the image. I like very much the intention is better than procrastination. Creative energy responds to open-hearted minds. Gifts of the giver's palm must allay doubt. Somewhere someone's psyche is uplifted by your creativity, sacred nativity of head, heart, and hands. Manager's hope. That is wonderfully done.
Oh, indeed. Awesomely said there. And, you know, what a wonderful write by Eric Svensson. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is absolutely beautiful. Amazing imagery and metaphors. I like how it speaks on the connection between poetry and art and how worlds can be created from the creative mind. Beautifully written all the way through, but I especially like Gilded Gold, Friendly Frankincense, and Melodious Myrrh. Oh, how creativity, sweet nectar thrills, monarch butterfly cracks open darkness. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Indeed. Awesome comment there, Pam. Thank you so much. And Dex, your thoughts. Did I get? Oh, yeah, I got you, Dex, right? Rose, your thoughts.
She got knocked off by weather. She's in California where all that crap is.
Oh. Okay, so she left us, Rose. Okay. Well, I have our next write-up, The Smiling Wolf by After the Fire. And he wrote to prompt 19, which was one of Kitty the Naughty Poet artworks. And Dex, would you go ahead and give that a read, please?
Absolutely. This is Damn It Dave, The Smiling Wolf. Beware the smiling wolf, my son. He hides a feral soul. He hides a feral soul. He may seem tame, but get too close, and he'll devour you whole. You must be with the pack, you see, to win his love and trust. For otherwise, you're just a meal, a pie without crust. Look closely at his gleaming teeth. Son, please stay alert. Though he's already had his lunch, you'd make a nice dessert. End poem.
Awesome read there, Dex. And Laurent, your thoughts?
This is a little fairy tale with teeth almost. It has that rhythm. It has that rhyme. Beware the smiling wolf, my son. He hides a feral soul. A little dark for a child, perhaps, but awfully good advice. I like the way this is written. Nice, short, punchy lines. Nice conclusion.
Awesome comment, Laurent. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, before I share my thoughts, I did want to let you know that Sucker for the Treadmill, Sean, has joined us on the show. So welcome, Sean. Yep,
hi,
glad you could join us. Yeah.
Hi, Sean.
This is a wonderful write. Great rhyme and flow, as always. Wonderful imagery and metaphors. And to me, the wolf, the grinning wolf, was really a representation of those things that we, it's a tale of warning, of to be wary of things that we think we have under control, but we really don't. Great writing all the way through. But I do especially like the dark humor in the second stanza. You know, you must be with the pack you feed to win this his love and trust, for otherwise you're just a meal, a pie without a crust. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Awesome comment. And Sean, did you get a chance to read or hear our last?
Yeah, I'll read.
Did you get a chance to hear it? Our last poem?
The Smiling Wolf was the last one?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
Would you like
I really
to
like it. Yeah, I'm going to do my best, but I like the etymology of grin because it's kind of like a smiling through your teeth, like a grimace. I don't know if you guys know what I mean, but I'm a waiter at a fancy restaurant, and we have to pretend to be a certain way to appease people, and it doesn't feel right. But I like how this. I mean, it's talking about hiding the feral soul, like your natural instincts. Like when somebody's an asshole, or I guess nowadays a care, and you want to say, just fuck off with you. So I'm trying to find a way to do that nicely or consciously to win people over, to help heal them. And I think this Damn It Dave poem speaks to that perfectly.
Mhm. Yeah, I see what you mean. I was a waitress for a while, and you get all kinds of people in there. Some nice people, some not so nice. And so I understand what you're saying. And so I have our next poem up by Betty Page, and she wrote to the art of Kitty the Naughty Poet, the one that was the art piece that Betty, Biker Betty was written to, called Ghost Riders. And Pam, you want to go ahead and give that one a read?
I would be happy to. It would have been really fun if Betty had written a poem called Biker Betty, but Ghost Riders is good too.
That would have been funny.
And this is Ghost Riders by Betty Page. Cruising down sunset, rainbow colors melt in skies, fades into crimson. Streets are paved in gold. Stars line the sidewalks as cameras flash. Day turns into night as ghost riders rule this town. City comes alive. Strip clubs open up, pretty women dance for cash, men gaze mesmerized. Sweet tropical drinks, bikinis tossed aside, slow so seductively, exotic allure, rock and roll bands partying, riding their Harleys. Some say that they're ghosts, cause soon as they come, they're gone, off to the next town. They'll drink up full bars, get high on all kinds of drugs, play real loud music, make passionate love, tumble from bars to parties, numb by pure cocaine, live it up all night. Pretty girls kiss them goodbye, hope they'll meet again. End poem.
Awesome read there, Pam. And, you know, she really captured something inside of that art, the whole atmosphere here, with of ghost riders, you know, those bands of motorcycle riders that you see, you know, that are like kind of, like ghosts drifting from one place to the other. Sean, what did you think? Would you like to comment first on this piece?
Sure. It reminds me of the kind of wild emptiness. It seems like all those things, the exotic allure, the rock and roll, riding motorcycles, saying you're a ghost, pretending you're riding on streets paved with gold. It's really all just empty. But the cameras are flashing, the stars line the sidewalks. It's like a steak or like a saccharine pursuit to nothing. And I'm trying to find out like why people do that. Like, why do we grin when we see, I can't remember his name, the psychologist that Oprah, like, promoted, just, like, ripping little kids apart. Or why do we chuckle when a woman on the subway just pulls her pants down and pees in the middle of the train? Why does that create a smile?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, as always, wonderful 575 lines, powerful imagery. She really captures the darkness of a certain lifestyle and how it can be so seductive and yet at the same time so dark. You know, the imagery throughout is amazing. Great flow and very well done.
Yeah, awesome write by Betty Page for sure. Like she can always do them. And Dex, your thoughts. Is Dex still with us?
Yeah, I thought that this was a great write. I liked what Sean said as far as the emptiness. You know, I feel like the other one, the Betty's in this, right, just by essence, and Biker Betty is in essence in this, you know. But Betty's so badass that she makes this her own, so very well done.
Oh, yeah. Well said there. She made it her own. Well said, Dex. And, yeah, so I have our next poem up by Ben Hart. April Street Stories, and I think he wrote to, he wrote to a bunch of different arts. Oh, he wrote to yours, Dex, the prompt 1 and 3, and prompt 6.
I think he wrote
8,
to The Art of Kitty the Naughty Poet, prompt 22. I think. Oh,
yeah.
No, he wrote to different ones. Okay, I see.
Yeah, that's
I
it.
See.
He wrote to Dexis, and he wrote to Hopes, too. And I think he wrote to Nuno's, and he wrote to Kitty the Naughty Poet, I think. So quite a mixture of different rights and different art pieces. So, Dex, you want to go ahead and give it a read?
Absolutely. This is called April Street Stories by Ben Hart. 1, the cigarette and its smoker. 2 a.m. at only, just past in the 3. When a soft knocking hastened his heart as a shadow danced across his drapes and the world stage of headlights passing by before breaking apart back into the dark. Remember me? I used to be the object of your art, back when you were brave enough not to paint a bowl of grapes, a beach in this July, or a happy meadowlark. No, it had to be the one that would always get away, white smoke thinning on its way from lips to wind, leave the imprint of forever on something that was never meant to stay. 2:22. I always believed I was only one gut-shattered scream away from deliverance, but I kept quiet at midnight as not to frighten my black cat audience with those big green eyes filled with danger and dream, brave enough to take a chance on a cyan dead man writing little love stories for his bride-to-be. Oh my dear death, looks beautiful on you. Here's to hoping you could do the same for me. Eyes that lie and only being about being only 22 to everybody in this crazy world look green. But to you, they were always blue. Perhaps because you were the best thing they had ever seen. Black Dahlia Bouquet of Cheshire Cat Cabaret were my two favorite tattoos. If I had to pick one, if I had to pick from all of the art in the museum, that was you. 3, it's okay to drink in December. There's footprints in the snow up and down April Street, which seem to lead from the liquor store back to a sad man's bar. Little yellow car with no home to go because mother's milk was never as sweet as the ichor from the bottle's teat. End poem.
Naomi, you're on mute.
I'm on mute again. Yeah, I do awesome write, awesome read there, Dex, and you know, an awesome write by Ben Hart here. And I loved how he married all those art pieces together, and then you know, from yours, Dex, you see that the smoker in the beginning, you see the yellow car. That was in your painting in the end there. And, you know, you see the green cat that was in one of Kitty the Naughty's Poet and so many other art pieces that he included in this wonderful, wonderful write. So just so fabulously well done. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, this is beautifully written. Amazing imagery and metaphors. I really like that he... And I like and appreciate that he wrote to several of the artist's paintings. I like how this speaks on loss and something that you can never gain back, but that will never be forgotten. I particularly like, remember me, I used to be the object of your art back when you were brave enough not to paint a bowl of grapes, a beach in July, or a happy meadow lark. You know, it speaks on the idea of changing times and changing perspectives. So excellent write and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all start by, for me, you know, because I paint too. And we all start with what do they call that? In French, it's des images mortes. They're like dead, you know, like a bowl of grapes or whatever we start off. Well, I start
right?
with that.
Oh, still
Pardon
life.
Me? Still life.
Like
that's it. Yeah, we all start with that. Anyway, I started with that. And, you know, and then we evolved from that. I didn't evolve very much, but anyway, I tried. But compared to your guys' paintings, oh my gracious, you know, so superb. I call my mind doodling compared to what you guys do. Dex, your thoughts on this right?
Yeah, I'm really blown away about the story and the life that he brought into this. And that was what really I loved. You know, remember me, I used to be an object of your art back when you were brave enough not to paint a bowl of grapes. There's a certain rawness and edginess that belongs in art. And you know, want to know something that Ben Hart is so eloquent with his words that I would imagine that there's some effort put in to just remain at a certain edginess still within his work, because what I've read of his is so amazing and it's so eloquent that for him to find that balance of that edge, I just admire. And I thought that he captured that very well here.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Awesomely said there, Dex. And a few words, Sean, to finish out the show.
Yeah, I really like Ben and appreciate this one particularly. I like that I was just like lonely and sad and kind of talking the alt poetry or the late night poet Gucha chat and asked if anybody wanted to play. And he did like a little call and response with me. But this poem is very good. It touches on everything that culture doesn't want to see. Breaking apart, back into the dark, remember me before all that happened. We can't just paint walls of grace with the writing. It has to be something more. It has to change people's minds. It has to wake people up. It has to imprint into their psyche a different mode of thinking, and he gets that. It's scary and dangerous, but when you get it, it makes you want to take the chance to put yourself out there, to feel comfortable with the right people, with the right-minded people, and kill your old self, like die a little bit. Or wake up a little bit. I don't know if that's the same thing. You have to hope. You have to change. You have to grow and learn and just read. I think he touches this really well in this film. I'm his biggest fan. I honestly can't believe this film enough. My favorite quote is
Great comment there, Sucker. Thank you very much. And Naomi, wonderful show tonight.
Yeah, and I would like to thank, you know, all the artists that contributed and all the poets that wrote and, you know, everybody, all our guests that we had out tonight and everybody that hung out on the board. Thank you, Pam, for being there. And, you know, just a great, have a great rest of the night, everybody. And join us tomorrow, Wednesday, for our shows. So good night, everybody.